Welcome to The Climate Press,
a podcast that brings together climate science with public understanding and action.
Physical changes attributed to climate change. Physical changes attributed to climate change. Physical changes attributed to climate change. Those depend on one's location.
In this episode, we're speaking with a curious group of scientists and musicians that have joined forces to explore the process of data sonification. In other words, they take data and turn it into music. In particular, they've used climate model data from cities in the West African countries of Niger and Ghana to create soundtracks that demonstrate musically how the climate will change within the next century. So we're here with Professor Doug Parker, Professor Benjamin Lamptey, Martin Parker, and Freddie Godfrey. You're all very welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us.
And perhaps we could start off by asking one of you to share how you initially came up with this idea of turning climate data into music.
So I guess this came about quite, it's slightly random. Martin and I were talking about the whole idea of sonification, but just you know, something that we'd encountered and heard about from other areas of science. I think there was some article in New Scientist or something. And at the time, I was teaching students here in the University of Leeds about climate data. I had a lot of climate data for Africa available. I've been working with Ben Lamptey on analysing these data and using them for forecasting in Africa. So I had this data available, and Martin was interested to make use of it. So Martin started playing around with the data, and it kind of led on from there.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about the project as a whole, the Future Climate for Africa project, and where's the data coming from exactly?
So the Future Climate for Africa program is a program funded in the UK that has been generating really state-of-the-art climate forecasts for Africa. And then within FCFA, that's been used very much to develop information at the local scale for people in Africa who need it. But we've also been developing the science of producing those data. And we have really the best climate simulations in the world for Africa, a very high resolution, 4 kilometer resolution over Africa for the current and future climate. So it's really state of the art. And it's a real goldmine, these data, the model predictions that we have. And there's lots and lots of things we can do with them. So normally we're using them, to create predictions of things like rainfall and use that to advise governments or planners. But in this case, we wanted to produce something that was, more emotive for people.
And have you already noticed any change in the climate patterns in West Africa compared to the last century, for example?
Well, I could give a response, in terms of the model data, sitting in the UK and looking at our models. Ben and Freddie could say something from their, local experience. But certainly when we look at the observations over the last decades, say since the 1980s, we can see that the storms, rainstorms in Africa have been getting more intense. So the pattern has been that storms are getting more intense, but also the gaps between storms are getting longer. So you get more drought, and then when rain comes, it's more intense. So that's basically, the water cycle is heating up. But that's kind of seeing this from the point of view of a scientist working in the UK. And there's a lot more to the climate than that. So I'm sure, Ben and Freddie may have other things to say.
I think Doug is right, and the situation on the ground shows that there is a change. It's well known that the rainfall patterns in the 80s are quite different from now. So people have that perception already. So even outside of science.
Ben, do you want to give us an example of how people, like you're saying, there's like on the ground experiences and local observations of those changes, either from Ghana or from Niger?
In fact, we even see like sea level, the coastal areas. The coastal areas have changed dramatically. People have been in a workshop where people have actually shown how the area coverage has shrinked, right? It has shrunk completely. And they can tell you, they show the pictures of the coastal areas at this time, slides, and then, and this is not model, this is actual pictures that people have taken. So like I was saying, even outside of science, people have the pictures and the coast, like Elmina, Cape Coast areas, people have those pictures. I've been in a workshop where people are showing those pictures. So you can see the impact. Yeah, it has changed completely.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, so now maybe Martin, do you want to tell us a bit about the process that you take to create the music?
Sure, yeah. So the actual process of sonification consists of taking the raw data, raw readings over a period of time, and then matching each one with a pitch, so that the pitch of a sequence of notes will be higher when, for example, temperature is higher. And I've got an example to play, which should hopefully work. So in this example, it's a bass synthesizer, and the pitch of the bass goes higher to follow a data series of wind. So the pitch is higher when the wind is higher, which sounds a bit like this. Is that hearable? Can we all hear that? Yeah, so you can see here how it goes up and down very quickly, and it sounds a lot like data, this in particular. And it's going up and down, and that follows the data series, so that follows the data. So that's a very simple example. But then when making the track, we incorporated a lot of musical elements, so it didn't sound so much like data in the end. But it's this still this idea of aspects of the music going up and down with the numerical data. If that makes sense.
Martin, so then do you have one instrument per track, or how do you choose which instrument matches with each variable?
Yeah, so we did. We had a different instrument for each data. And I suppose we made these decisions based on the science a little bit. For example, the rainfall was percussion instruments because they sound a bit like rainfall falling on roofs. Yeah, and temperature was quite a thick chord. For people that know about music, it was quite a thick chords that got thicker as the temperature got higher. So that was also trying to relate to the science as well. So yeah, bringing it back to the science.
Yeah, there's a point there about rainfall as well, is that things like temperature and wind, you know, they're all the time, they're continuous, but the rainfall is not every day. The rainfall comes and goes. So you need to choose an instrument where, you know, where it's comfortable with that. Percussion is quite good because you bring percussion in at some time. It's very dramatic when rainfall comes, but there's long gaps with no rainfall. And the same in the Kumasi tune, it's Freddie singing, is the rainfall instrument.
Yeah, I was wondering, Martin, if you came across your own method of sonification, or you based your techniques on something that was previously done, because I've heard other songs, but they don't sound as nice as this one. They sound very, I think maybe they literally translated each value of temperature into a note, and it doesn't necessarily sound good.
Yeah, I suppose there's always in these projects a kind of a tug and pull between making it sound like music and making it sound like data, potentially. So I've heard various different ones, and even when we were making it, it was always important to toe the line a little bit between making it sound like music and data. But yeah, the project I'd heard before I started were more on the musical side. One called Dendritic, about dendritic growth in fluid dynamics.
So for those of you who haven't listened to the tracks, at the beginning it sounds really nice and everything is like in order, and then as the music progresses, as the track goes by, it represents the end of the century where climate change is distorting data, and you can really feel uncomfortable listening to more noisy tracks. How do you get that distortion of the tracks? Is it the same way as you do you do anything else to distort the data, or is it just the raw data as it is just put into the track? The raw data of the future projection, I mean.
I can play you an example to answer this question. So there's a musical effect or a music technology effect called distortion, mm-hmm. which makes everything sound a bit more fuzzy, which is imitating guitar amps when they're played too loud and sound fuzzy. So here is an example from
Those who depend one's location.
So here's Freddie's voice, and that's in the current climate. That's representing the current climate. And then you can put this effect on when the temperature gets higher, and that makes it sound a lot more harsh. So it's the same thing, but sounding more harsh. Was one example.
That's brilliant. I love that. And so that's actually not multiple people. I thought it was a chorus of people when I first heard it, but it's Freddie and then Mike distorted.
Maybe Freddie can explain how he came up with the vocal line. I think he layered his own vocals.
Please, the sound that we made, you know, whilst putting up the sonification of like the data we rendered. It's simply like I stated. It's simply an expression we use locally, to warn people of an incoming danger. Traditionally, you know, the sound, the African sound, is like chanting, and it goes like ooh ah ooh ah, you know, ooh ah ooh ah, yeah. So that is it. Basically, that is the ooh ah ooh ah significance. Thank you once more.
Observing changes in the weather patterns. So the climate changes will show up when they are occurring, they will show up as weather. Tropical cyclones like Ida are relatively easy to predict.
I think, Doug, at the beginning you talked about the kind of emotive side of the work that you do as well, and really trying to generate some kind of response in people listening to it. And we've read that you've shared these tracks as well with people again in Ghana and Niger. What was the reception that you received, or can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I think people were impressed with the idea. And for me, the main thing is getting it further down, because it's like meteorologists and scientists and those are the people who had it, and they were very impressed. But I think the target is to get it to, let's say, the farmer, you know, something to attract the farmer, because music, when you just listen to the music is very attractive. And then embedded in the music, you have been given a message of something that is related to what you do. And I think that is getting to that stage is what we need to do. But right now, all those people who have heard it are like meteorologists, and they are all impressed about it. But we need to get it to the farmer on the field as well, and see what they also think about it. We haven't gotten to that stage. We haven't reached the last mile. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say that I'm quite used at seeing the plots and projections of climate change, and I'm kind of immune now to those kind of news. And even for myself, that I'm quite used to see those plots, this track is much more effective for me than seeing another map of future global mean surface temperature change. It's quite emotional, and it drives me yeah, different emotions really, and encourages me to keep on working, and it gives this sense of urgency. It makes it more real, I guess.
I think we'll take advice from you guys though on how to promote this more. And I mean, it's always a challenge for all musicians, isn't it, to get their music heard. I mean, all musicians, I guess, have a message to communicate.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, a lot of them want to be heard by lots of people. I mean, it would be nice to think next time I go to Ghana, then I'll get into a taxi and the taxi driver will be playing these tracks on the radio.
Exactly.
but how you reach that far is a challenge. And maybe this actually reflects a deeper challenge around communicating climate change. I mean, how do you really get it penetrate through to, you know, the majority of people to make everybody really understand? I mean, a lot of people are understanding more and more all the time, but it remains a challenge.
Absolutely. And I think it's really amazing then to pair different types of methods and this artistic method, because you might reach a different group of people using different approaches. And yeah, you know that, like, radio is far reaching in most places in the world.
But also, I think we certainly did want to go beyond the intellectual. And I think that's what we've done. We're not the first people to create sonification of climate data, but our aim has really been to connect this with the sounds and the music that people in Ghana are familiar with, so that it will reach out to them. And that people would listen to this by choice, not as a duty.
Yes. Yeah.
So have you sent these tracks to the radio, the local radio, or but how are you disseminating these tracks, and also how can we help you disseminating them, or how can anyone help you besides from this episode?
Well, you within Ghana, I think, I mean, you, Ben, had some contacts in the radio industry, didn't you? So there was certainly a piece on one of the radio channels about it.
It's reaching the elites, you see, it's reaching the educated people, but we want to go to the community radio, which is transmitting in local languages, and that's the stage we have to get to.
Right now,
it's like, I think Freddie was talking about the possible ways of doing it, but I think it will take more than just having the contact. I don't know whether my friend told me that there's no charge for it, but with the community radios, they have their own resources. So they have their own ways of running. So that's what I need to find out. I know the Niger radio, community radio, it's very easy to do it in Niger. But in Ghana, I haven't actually gotten to the community, way down the community scale. I haven't gotten. I had that experience in Niger, and it will be easy to do that in Niger, and I think it should be possible in Ghana as well. We need to reach them. They are not part of the mainstream. You know, it's like they partner with the mainstream. They partner with the mainstream. So they run their own programs. They're on their own. You can't rely on the normal news channel to do that. It needs an extra step. And for me, what I like about this is the fact that it can even be used for synthesization. You see, the farmer level, at the community level, it's very easy to synthesize. It's not always going to be climate change messages like coming from the data, but even what they need to do, like extension officers work. You can synthesize them on what they should do and what they should not do. And so it's not always, And I think it's just a matter of penetrating to that level. That's what we need to do initially. And then the med services can use it even regularly for sensitization and for other things,
Well, I think that if you want to reach young people that are at school, for example, think the Youth Strikes for Climate are a very powerful tool, and social media nowadays is the way that young people don't watch the news anymore. They just go on Twitter and things like that. So that would be a nice way to spread the tracks.
The issue of data is yet to be resolved. The need for present in regional communities is currently more urgent than ever before.
Are you planning to create more tracks from different locations of maybe West Africa, but also different locations within the Future Climate for Africa project to extend the region a little bit?
I think we need to use this one to work out some of the what we see as bottlenecks. We want to reach the last mile. We need to make sure we have that structure in place. You know, if we are able to resolve things with the communication side of things, I think the data is already there, and we can choose different locations and just do it for different, but we need to work out the structure. Personally, I think getting the communication channel to the last mile is the main thing that we have to work on now. So that once we are able to do that and we see all the channels, what it takes to get the message down there, I think the data is already available. The data is sitting in leaks. Yeah, we can choose different locations and do that.
I think there's no limit to what could be done, though. I mean, the same way there's no limit to the kind of music you can make. You know, there's just an infinite variety in what music you can make. And there's a lot of different messages and stories around climate change, you know, affecting different people and in different ways. You know, there's different hazards and threats, there's, you know, that affect people's lives, you know, different experiences that people have. So it could be physical hardship, or it could be just strange weather, or it could be whatever. I mean, it's change is the only common thing. So I think there's a million things that could be done. I guess it makes it quite exciting. I mean, it's the nature of the creative process that it's without limit, really.
I was gonna quickly say as well, if anyone listening has anything interesting to say about sonification or these tracks or anything, it's all very new for us as well. So we're really interested to hear people's thoughts and hear any ideas.
So you're actively looking for collaborators?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for answering our questions. And yeah, I'm very impressed of your work, and I'm a big fan. What you do really motivates what I do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We're going to end the show now by playing you the entire track of sonified climate data from the city of Kumasi in Ghana. And we hope you enjoy.
Physical changes attributed to climate change. Physical changes attributed to climate change. Physical changes attributed to climate change. Those depend on one's location. In some places, the rainfall pattern can change into increased rainfall, whilst in other places, it is reduced rainfall. Those depend on one's location. A way to reduce shock. We just to make sure that early warning is accompanied by early action. 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 Communication of climate change started long ago, and climate change is already happening in various places. There are places where the sea has clearly eroded the beach or the coastline, and inhabitants can testify to that. So, not acting early enough on the information, or not taking appropriate action on the information which has been given, does not make climate change an emergency. More importantly, action on climate change has been focused at the policy level with very little attention paid to the resources that will be needed to address climate change when it occurs. It is time to go beyond developing climate change policies and start implementing existing climate change policies